Deepak Chopra says Arielle Ford is the best publicist in the world. Learn the secrets from her. Mark Victor Hansen says, if you want to become master of your publicity fate, listen to Arielle Ford. She has taken our Chicken Soup for the Soul series repeatedly to number one. Wayne Dyer, Neil Donald Walsh, Dean Ornish, John Gordon, Debbie Ford, Gary Zukav, Louise Hay, Jack Canfield, and dozens of other best-selling authors have benefited from Arielle Ford's knowledge of publishing, publicity, promotion, and building a platform. By listening to the recordings repeatedly as you commute, work out, or relax, you'll find yourself automatically getting in tune with the thinking, the attitudes, and the convictions necessary to succeed as an author, expert, and speaker. And by studying the resource guide and utilizing the other course materials, you'll master the principles and discover dozens or hundreds of great success secrets that much sooner. Each recording focuses on a specific area of knowledge that Arielle has discovered is important to understand about the publishing business and your development as an author. Get ready for America's number one book publicist as Arielle Ford shows you how to become a best-selling author. So Arielle, can you tell me how you got started in publishing?
I began my foray into the wonderful world of publishing 15 years ago when I had an idea for a book. Or rather, a friend of mine had an idea for a book, but I fell in love with the idea. And it was a book called The Owner's Manual. It was a book designed for couples to know everything they needed to know about each other without having to beg. And my friend Beth came up with the idea, and I kept saying to her, you ought to publish that book, you ought to publish that book. And she just never got around to it. And finally I said, why don't we write that book together and I'll make sure it gets out into the world. Now, at this point in my life, I had been doing PR for about 15 years for corporations and events and nonprofit organizations, but I did not know a thing about publishing a book. So I did what I thought was a silly, easy thing to do. I went to the bookstore and I bought a book. And at the time, I decided to write the entire manuscript. I decided to be my own agent, and I shopped the book. And strangely enough, I got an offer. I met with a publisher. They fell in love with the project. They gave me a contract. I read through the contract, and when I got to the part about the royalties, and I saw they only wanted to pay me 7.5% of the retail price, I declined. I said no. I was insulted. I thought, how dare they only pay me 7.5% on this brilliant idea? So then I decided we would self-publish. And I bought another book on how to be a self-publisher. And I got to the chapter on designing a cover. And rather than hire a book jacket designer, I decided I knew what was best and I designed the cover. Now you have to understand, I have no artistic ability whatsoever. But I went ahead and designed the cover. I also went and found a distributor. I convinced an independent book distributor that this book was the next Pet Rock. And they agreed and they took the book. I then went and mortgaged my home for $20,000 and published 5,000 copies of my book with my self-designed cover on it. I sent it to the distributor. Their sales reps took it out to all the different buyers of the book chains and the independent bookstores. And they came back and they said, good news, Barnes & Noble loves your book. And they'll put in an order for 4,000 copies if you change the cover. Now, I had 5,000 copies of these little suckers sitting in my garage, but in order to get into the bookstores, I needed a new cover. So I said, sure, I'll do that. So I took more of my mortgage money, went to a professional book jacket designer, got a four-color cover, got Barnes & Noble to approve it, and thought I was on my way. Barnes & Noble said, yes, this is a beautiful cover. We want it. And by the way, we'd like these books in pre-packs. And I said to the distributor, what's a pre-pack? And he said, oh, those are the self-containers where you have 8 books at a time and they put them on the counter. You definitely want to give them the pre-packs. So I said, sure, we'll have pre-packs. I then had to hire another designer to design the pre-pack. I had to find a printer that did die cut to create these prepacks. I then had to have them shipped to another place where they assembled the prepack, put the books in them, shrink wrap them, and then put them in the boxes to ship them to the distributor. All of this, the self-publisher pays for, which was me, more of my mortgage money. So I'm now way over my $20,000. I've already got 5,000 books sitting in my garage that I'll never be able to sell. And I've just ordered 10,000 in prepacks, you know, really on a lark based on orders that my distributor had. And we were running late. We wanted to pub this book on Valentine's Day because it was a relationship book. But because of all these other special things that came up, we're running late. So finally, the people who are packing the books into the prepack call and they tell me, your order's ready. We're shipping it out today to the distributor. At this point in my life, I was living in LA. The distributor was in Northern California, about 2 hours north of San Francisco. I hire a trucking company. They pick up my load and off it goes to Northern California. 3 days later, I call the distributor. Hey, have you gotten my books? Nope. No books here. I call the trucking company. Have you gotten my books? Nope. There seems to be a problem. We don't know where your books are. Then the next day, I get a call from the distributor who says to me, well, we have good news and bad news. The good news is your books have arrived. The bad news is they're badly damaged. And what had happened is that the truck carrying my books went off the side of a road in a rainstorm. Luckily, nobody was killed. The truck driver wasn't injured, but the entire load was a total loss. So I now had to reorder all the prepacks and the stuffing and the shrink wrapping and the boxing, and everything was even later. 3 days after the distributor had called to tell me that the books were a total loss, they called again to say, you know what? Your books were packed so well that when we opened up the big boxes, very few of them were damaged. So cancel the second order we gave you because we now have plenty of your books to send out to Barnes & Noble. So now, and these are all with rush charges, okay? So now there's more books on their way to the distributor. They finally get to the distributor, who then informs me that I'm now going to be paying rent on the extra space my books are taking up in their warehouse. And this is all before the first book hits the bookstores. Now, in addition to this, I thought I was being very creative when I decided to run a game for the sales reps of the distributor. I thought that if I could get the sales reps really enthusiastic about selling my book into the stores, I'd have a lead on everybody else. So I had tons and tons of airline miles, and my parents had a timeshare in St. Martin in the Caribbean. I gave away a week for two in the Caribbean to the sales rep that got the most orders for my book. So I am now the number one book on the distributor's mind. My books are getting ordered left and right. Finally, sometime in March, they get into the stores, they go on sale, and I'm doing my first radio interviews, which I'm setting up myself because I'm also my own publicist for this. This is before I was a book publicist for anybody else. I was the guinea pig for me. So books are starting to sell, but not a lot, because my book is a small book. And rather than use those beautiful, expensive, gorgeous prepacks that I thought were going to sit on counters, they didn't get used that way. They got to the Barnes & Nobles and the other stores, and the minimum wage workers working in the back rooms took my skinny book out of the prepacks, threw the prepacks away, and put my book on the shelf, spine out, where nobody could see it. What happens 60 days later? Returns. This is what happens in publishing. If the book doesn't sell, it goes back. It's been on consignment. So about 80% of the orders got returned, which means then they're going to get remainder. They end up on the dollar table in the junkie bookstores. So that was my very first foray into the publishing world. The owner's manual. Lots of orders, no sales, big mortgage.
So if you could summarize your experiences as a self-published author and as a literary agent for yourself and a publicist, what were the biggest lessons you learned from that experience?
In terms of the self-publishing, what I've really come to understand is there are two reasons to self-publish. You know, one is that no publisher will take your book and you have no other options and you want to see it published. The other is that you have an outlet, you have a market, you have a distribution system to sell the book. You don't need the publisher, because one of the biggest things a publisher does for you is the distribution. But if you're a speaker, if you have a platform, if you have an email list, if you have a following, if you're going out into the world and seeing thousands of people a year and you can sell your book in the back of the room and on your website, that's a very good reason to self-publish in this day and age. So having acted as my own agent, I did learn that you really want a real agent. You want somebody who understands the contracts, that can read the fine print, that knows the difference between a couple of percentage points on the royalty rates, that can really protect you. I don't recommend that anybody act as their own agent. I don't think it's wise, unless you're going to agent your own book and then hire a literary attorney to vet the contract for you. It's just not smart to do it yourself. And in terms of what did I learn from doing my own PR, that was probably the most learning experience of the whole thing, because if I hadn't done my own PR for my own book, I would have not gotten into this business. I tried to get someone to tell me what the secrets of book publicity are when I started out, and nobody would talk. And, you know, what I learned sort of the hard way is that it's all about smiling and dialing and repetition. You know, you've got to either get yourself pumped up or hire someone to do it for you, but you've got to get on the phone and talk to the media. Sending out press releases is really a waste of time and money unless you're going to make a follow-up call, because it's a sales pitch. That's all it is. It's a sales pitch. How do you get on a TV show? How do you get an article in a magazine? How do you get written up in the newspaper? Somebody's got to be out there selling you and talking about why you're an expert, why you're special, why you've got the statistics and the good information, why you've got the credibility and the respect of your peers. And that is all about sales.
Ariel, who should write a book?
There are several good reasons to write a book. The first is because you absolutely have to, because you have this book burning inside you that's just, you know, driving you crazy and must come out. If there's a book inside you and you know you have to write it, that's a really good reason. Another good reason is because you feel that you have something to contribute to the world. You have a body of knowledge or some expertise that will benefit people, and you can do it by putting in a book and getting it out. One of the other good reasons to write a book is because it gives you credibility. Having a book is your ticket to the big speaking engagements. It says this person has credibility, they're an expert, they know something, and if you have a book, that's going to get you higher speaking fees. And of course, it also offers you another income stream, because you now have more product to sell when you are out speaking or giving workshops. One of the other really, really good reasons to have a book is because if you want to be a media expert, that immediately gives you credibility. When you can send somebody your book along with your press kit, they'll be impressed. They'll know that you have something to say. So whatever your reasons for wanting to become an author, my goal with this course is to share with you the behind-the-scenes scoop on how the publishing game is played.
Ariel, what are the basics of the publishing game, and what does that mean?
Many first-time authors make the same mistake. They sit down and they write the entire book before they find out what the business is about. You don't need to do that. In fact, I urge you, don't write the book first. Get educated, learn about this business, and then buy a couple of good books on how to write a book proposal. The book proposal is what it's going to take to get an agent and a publisher. A great book proposal tells what the book is about, why you as the author are uniquely qualified to write this book. It has an amazing marketing section, which we'll cover in a little while. And it's the thing that's going to get you everything that you want. Agents and editors and publishers do not have time to sit down and read 300 or 400 pages from everybody who wants to be an author, but they do have time to read 50 pages of an amazing book proposal.
Let's say that I've got a great idea. I have a message that I want to share with the world, but I'm not a good writer. What should I do?
Don't worry. There are plenty of good writers for hire out there. And I'm going to share with you a little known secret. 90% of the best-selling authors I have worked with did not write their books on their own. 90% of them. There are so many ghostwriters and co-authors and freelance editors out there that can help you. What you need to have is a great idea. What you need to have is a great platform. You need to have a lot of energy and enthusiasm and a game plan to get the book out in the world. But you don't have to be a great writer. They can be hired. And in the reference guide enclosed in this package, I have given you the names, numbers, and email addresses of several great writers for hire.
What if I'm not sure I have a great idea? What should I do first?
Obviously, it makes the most sense to write about what you know. Ask yourself, what areas am I an expert? Go to the bookstore, browse the shelves, look at the competition, see what's out there, see what's selling, and just ask yourself, what do I have to offer that's better or different or easier or more fun on these same subjects? Think about ways that you can stand out, ways that you can have a new approach in the delivery of your information that you've tested and you found to be effective, either for yourself or for the people you work with or the people that come to hear you speak. One of the best-selling books of the last decade has been The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. Miguel's success can be attributed to the total simplicity of his message. He took four basic, simple concepts. I mean, it's just brilliant what he did. He took the concept of responsibility, and one quarter of the book is about what he calls being impeccable. Look and see, what do you know? How can you repurpose it, repackage it, and turn it into a great book idea?
Can you tell me what the basics of a good book proposal are?
It's quite simple. A book proposal consists of a 2 or 3 page overview or summary of the book, a table of contents that lists the title of each chapter, a chapter breakdown, which is anything from 2 sentences to a full page describing what's in each chapter. One of the very important things you have to have is a biography that explains who you are, what your education is, why you're credible, why you're somebody that can get this book out into the world. The most important part of a book proposal is the marketing section. This is what the publishers are going to read first. They want to know what your platform is. They want to know how you are going to help them sell the book. In the olden days, they used to have the marketing department sell the book for you. That's really no longer the case. You, the author, are the director of marketing of everything that you do, and they want to know, how big is your email list? How many hits do you get on your website? How many people are you speaking to every year? Who's listening or who's reading your e-zine or your newsletter? What are you doing? How many media appearances are you making? And how much of your own money are you going to spend on the marketing of this book? If you have a budget in mind, tell them I have $25,000 put away in a bank account to use towards PR. If you have more than that, even better. Tell them that you have an ad agency that's going to design and place ads in specific trade publications if that fits for your book. But in this marketing section, you want to have your entire plan, every single resource that you have listed. Another really important element of the book proposal is the competitive analysis. This is where you list other books that would be next to yours on the bookshelf. So if you're writing the XYZ self-help book, then you want to be able to mention Jack Canfield's new book, The Success Principle, which if you haven't read yet, I suggest that you do. And you want to say why your book is better, different, or in addition to a book like Canfield's. And you want to list 4 or 5 or 6 other books that have sold well that are in your category, and then explain how your book is different, better, or more useful, or will reach a different market. So the competitive analysis is probably the hardest part of the book proposal to write, but one of the most important. Finally, you want to have a good picture of yourself in this book proposal, a professionally shot 5x7 color photograph so they can see what you look like. Looks still count. You want to make sure you look good, you're dressed well, that your picture is conveying warmth, friendliness, professionalism, enthusiasm, and approachability. Those are the basics of a good book proposal. Be sure to buy a couple of books, read all of them, try and shoot for 50 pages. One more thing I forgot to mention, you must have 2 or 3 completed chapters in your book proposal. They do not have to be in order. You don't have chapter 1, 2, or 3. You could have chapter 1 and chapter 10 or chapter 2 and chapter 8, but they have to be able to see that either you or the writer that you hired is capable of writing a good, clean piece of work.
So what are publishers looking for?
They're looking for the next big Deepak Chopra, Tony Robbins, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen. They're looking for somebody who's a marketer, somebody who knows how to sell books and how to bring in the money. And that's what you need to become. I'm going to help you with that process. I'm going to tell you what it involves. But remember, they're buying you, not the book.
What happens after the book proposal is done?
Once you've written your book proposal and you think it's in as good a shape as you can possibly get it, I strongly recommend that you hire a freelance editor to critique it for you. They can pull out some of the gems that you've buried in the back of the proposal. They can help you reorganize and shape it in a way that's going to be more appealing to a publisher. They can tell you what's missing and what to take out. There are many great freelance editors out there. These are people who've had long and distinguished careers in the publishing game. They're no longer working for the big corporate publishing houses, but they're either writing for themselves or ghostwriting for other people such as yourself. And for anywhere from $500 to $1,000, maybe a little bit more, you will get a written critique that will make all the difference in the world. And in the reference guide, I've listed several of my favorite writers for you.
Once I have a book proposal, how do I go about finding an agent?
Well, in an ideal world, your next door neighbor would be the top agent of the universe, and they would just, you know, handhold you all the way to New York and get you a big deal. But since that doesn't happen for most of us, you're going to have to do a little elbow grease to find a good agent. There's several ways to do this. You can go to the book called Literary Marketplace. It's a big reference guide. Every library has one. And start looking up different agents, and they list them different ways by categories and by cities, and you can go that route. The way I think works best, there's 2 different ways. The first way would be to go to some writers' conferences, and they're held all over the country at different times. You can Google them. At these writers' conferences, you can request to go do 5-minute pitch meetings at all the various agents and editors who are speaking there. They have them set up so all day long they're meeting with lots of different wannabe authors and first-time authors, and you get to actually sit face-to-face and connect with them. Another way would be to find these agents when they're speaking. There are adult education courses around the country. Here in California, they're called the Learning Annex. Learning Annex is also in New York and Toronto, but most major cities have their own adult education, and quite often they'll have Publishing Day. Well, they will bring in various agent and editors to speak. Sign up for the course. Go meet with them. I personally have a friend who met her agent at a Learning Annex event in San Diego and got a $150,000 advance on her first book. It does happen. The other way to do it, if you live in a remote area and meeting an agent face-to-face is not in the realm of possibility, is to go to the bookstore and look at the books in your category and read the acknowledgement pages. I don't know any author out there who hasn't acknowledged their literary agent on the pages of their book. Their names are there. Once you find the names, it's not hard to find them. You can Google them or look them up in Literary Marketplace and then send them a query letter. I would not initially send them your entire proposal, because you want to send something in a number 10 standard business envelope, something that doesn't look like it's a lot of work. I would send them what I call a one sheet. It's basically a pitch letter. And in the first paragraph, you tell them, you know, who you are, what are your qualifications, what have you been doing, a little bit about your platform. And in the second, third, and fourth paragraph, you tell them what your book idea is and use some bullet points. And in the fifth and sixth paragraph, which is about all you should have, tell them a little bit about how you're going to market the book and why you're saleable and you're a viable author. And then ask them, would you like to see my book proposal? That's your best way to get a fast result, because that way they don't have to pour through the entire thing, or what most of the agents do is they have readers on staff. They have a slush pile, and the most junior person in the office has to read the most amount of proposals, and then if they like it, they give it to the higher-ups. This way, somebody can read the letter, they can bring it into the big boss, the big boss can say, hey, that sounds interesting, let's ask for the proposal. Once they ask for the proposal, make sure you send it out and write in big letters on the outside of the envelope, requested materials. Because every day they're getting packages of proposals in. You want them to know immediately that they asked for yours. If you have several agents who've asked to see your proposal at the same time, you want to note in your cover letter that you are doing multiple submissions. That way they know that they're going to have to jump on it or somebody else may gobble you up. And you also want to give them 3 weeks to get back to you. So you may want to say, thanks so much for requesting to see my proposal. I'm doing multiple submissions. Today is April 2nd. I would so appreciate it if you could get back to me by May 1st. That way you're respecting their time. You're giving them lots of time to get back to you. Let's say things go really well and three agents are interested in you. How do you choose? I would suggest that you go and you meet with them. Now, this may require some traveling, but it's important you get to know them. This is like a blind date. It's like, you know, going out and meeting somebody you're going to go steady with or marry for a long time. You need to get to know them. You need to find out how they work. What's their work situation like? You know, are they a smoker? I mean, this is the stuff you want to know. Let's say you're a health nut and they're a smoker, and every time they send you pages back, they smell like smoke. This actually happened to me once. I had a freelance editor working on a project, and every time he sent me my pages, I could smell the smoke. And I finally said to him one day, I said, Vince, what happens if your apartment catches on fire? Where's the backup for my book besides being on the hard drive of your computer? And he said, you know, because I never thought of that, I'm going to make a backup disk tonight and give it to my girlfriend to keep at her apartment just as a safety. And then we forgot about the conversation. 3 months later, the book was due. He was about to deliver the manuscript, and I get a call from Vince. Hi, this is Vince. I have some really bad news. It's like, what? He said, my apartment burned down last night. It's like, oh my God, where's my book? He goes, well, thank God you told me to put a backup disk at my girlfriend's house, and literally saved a year's worth of work because I knew that he was a smoker and that was a possibility. Okay, so this is an extreme example. Let's get back to choosing an agent. You want to get to know this person. There are questions you want to ask them. What is their submission process? Do they make a bunch of calls first and find out if somebody's interested? Or do they just blindly send out 15 copies of your proposal with a cover letter? What timing do they work on? How many other authors are they working on right now? Are you going to be a big fish in a little pond? Or are you going to be the littlest fish in the big pond? I can't tell you how many authors have called me up in tears because they cannot get their agent on the phone. The book sold months before. Maybe the book came out and it didn't do well, and now their agent no longer returns their call. Why does this happen? Because they went with the big time agent who's only interested in that 15%. They're not making any money on you, the little author, so they're not going to call you back. Personally, I say go with the smaller or the mid-size agent, the person who's really enthusiastic about you, the person who really gets you, the person who sees your long-term potential. Just because they've got, you know, William Morris on the door and it's one of the biggest agencies in the world doesn't mean you're going to get what you need or get the best service.
Do I need to sign a contract with an agent?
Yes, most agents are going to require that you sign an agreement with them. And what you want to do is, of course, read it carefully, but spend the money and get a lawyer to read it for you. You want to know is, you know, let's say they don't sell your book. Are they going to have you tied up for 2 or 3 years? Or are they the kind of agent that says, you know what, we did our best, we're going to set you free? I got a call just last week from somebody who had signed with an agent who had a 3-year agreement. She wasn't doing her job. The book wasn't being followed up with. The author was miserable. And now she sends her contract to a lawyer and the lawyer says, sorry, there's nothing you can do. So you want to spend whatever money it's going to take to have a lawyer review the contract. I urge you to have a clause in this contract that says, if they don't sell your book after a certain amount of time, that's the end of the deal, and you can go on and find another agent. This is really important.
What if I want to act as my own agent?
You know, I don't recommend this. There's a lot of built-in difficulties. Agents have relationships with the editors at the publishing houses. They understand the corporate culture of what's happening over there. They can go to the mat for you. They can get things done. You know, could you sell a book on your own? Sure. I know of a couple of cases where somebody sat next to a publisher on a cross-country plane trip and convinced them to buy the book. Was that the best thing to do? Absolutely not, because you need somebody who's going to be in your corner fighting your battles when you don't like what the marketing department's doing or you hate the way the cover looks. You definitely need an agent. If you are certain that you can, you know, do the deal on your own because of connections or whatever, at the very least, hire a good literary attorney to vet the contract for you. These contracts are very complex. There's a lot of small print. And even if you yourself are a lawyer, you need to understand what all the terminology is and how the publishing deals work. So don't hurt yourself by doing it on your own.
If my agent needs me to go meet with the publishers, how do I prepare?
In the best of all worlds, your agent will have several meetings lined up for you in New York, and this can be so much fun. You get to go meet one-on-one all these big publishers you've ever heard about and sell them on you and sell them on the book. But one of the things agents like to do is cram as many meetings as humanly possible into a single day. And I have to tell you from experience, this is not the way to go. Doing 8 or 9 or 10 meetings in a day, back to back, is just physically and mentally grueling. And you can't be your best at every meeting if you're just running around like a lunatic. I've done it. It's exhausting. Don't do it. Insist on only having 4 meetings in a day, 2 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. And if your agent is insisting on more, just tell them you can't do it. Now, why is that? Think about it. You're meeting all these new people for the first time. You walk into a room. Let's say they're going to give you 30 minutes for the meeting. The first 5 or 10 minutes is just chit-chat, getting to know you, polite conversation. Then they want to know, you know, how'd you come up with this idea for the book? They're probing. They want to know who you are and what do you know. And you really need to be your absolute best. This is your audition. You have to wow these people, whether there's one person in the room or the entire sales force. And by the way, the more people in the room, the more serious they are about buying your book. Because if they're serious, they'll have at least one person there from either PR or marketing or both. So here you are in this meeting. You need to be prepared to tell them why you can sell the book, how you're going to sell the book, all the different ideas you have. They're going to ask you, well, do you have any questions for us? And you want to be able to say things like, well, yeah, how do you see my book as being marketed? What kind of special markets do your sales forces have access to that I might be a fit for? What other kinds of books have you done in this genre? What timing do you see for my book? What time of year do you see it coming out? Which editor would I be working closely with? And most likely it's the person you're sitting with. And what ideas do you have? How do you see this book being, you know, coming out? So you may have to wing the questions, but they always like to know that you're as interested in them as they are in you. Okay, so this is your audition. You want to make sure that you look as good as the photo that was included in the book proposal. You want to show up there looking like $1 million. I know of one author who showed up for her meetings with the publishers with no makeup on in her sweat clothes because she didn't think it was important. This woman is a former actress, so the photo that she sent with her book proposal was one of her super-duper glam shots. And I can tell you the publishers were beyond disappointed when this schleppy, bedraggled woman showed up in their offices looking like she just rolled out of bed. So remember, every single meeting is an audition. You have to be up mentally, physically, and you've got to look great. Okay, so I'm going to say it one last time. These meetings are your auditions. You've got to look great. You got to sound great. You got to be on top of your game. You've got to play your hardest, give it your all, and hopefully you'll walk out of there with a book deal.
So what happens next after the publisher meetings?
So later that day or the next morning, the publishers that are most interested are going to be calling your agent, and they're going to be nosing around saying, well, what is he looking for? What is she looking for? And what they really want to know is, what are your expectations in terms of an advance? Because if the agent says, well, he's looking for $500,000, they're going to say, we weren't thinking that big. There's no way we can play in that game. And what they're really doing is feeling out your agent to see if your agent is really got the pulse of the market of who you are and what you're worth. And then they may take it a step further. If there are multiple publishers interested, your agent may decide to hold an auction. And basically what an auction is the agent says, okay, here's what we're selling. We're selling the hardcover and the paperback rights to the XYZ self-help manual, including world rights, including audio rights, including book club revenues, and they make this whole list. And then they say, you know, 2 weeks from today, the auction will be this type of auction. There are many different kinds of auctions, and it'll start at this time, make your first bid. And then your book will go to the highest bidder. There's another auction where they just put in their best bid. Publishers pretty much hate this. They only get one shot, and they usually only do this with a really big name. And then, you know, my favorite way to sell a book is not to try and auction it, is to sit down with my author and talk to them. You know, who did you feel the most connected with? Which publishing team do you think really got you? You know, did this marketing person, did you feel comfortable with him or her? And try to figure out what the best match is, because a lot of authors will say, well, I want the most money. And let me tell you, you don't want the most money. Money's great. You want the best team. You want the team that really gets you. You want the people who see your potential, want a long-term relationship, and know how to market your kind of book. I've had several really big best-selling authors tell me later, I'm so sorry I went for the big money. I should have gone with that editor. She really got me. Instead I took the money, and now I just feel guilty because the book didn't sell that well. So, you know, it's really a catch-22. That's where your agent's going to earn his or her money, coaching you on which publishing team you should be with, helping you come to a deal, and then hopefully you then go and write your book after you've got the deal.
So what do I do once the manuscript is delivered?
This is the challenging part. The book was actually the easy part. Now we're going to get to the marketing of you. This is where we have to turn you into the superstar author. And what I'm going to suggest to you is that you start looking for a good media trainer, because nobody was born with the innate ability to get on a TV show and sell their book in the 3 minutes that they give you for the interview. It just doesn't happen. In the reference guide, there are several different kinds of media trainers listed. I suggest that you work with at least two of them, because it's more than just learning how to speak the words. You need to learn how to language your book in such a way that people are saying, I've got to get in my car right now and go to Barnes & Noble and buy this book. You need to learn how to have your nonverbal communication be outstanding. On television, 93% of a message somebody gets from you is nonverbal. That means only 7% is the words that you're speaking. This is based on a study that was done at UCLA about 15 years ago. Nonverbal and verbal communication is absolutely key. I have always insisted that every single one of my authors be media trained, even the big best-selling ones. And for a lot of them, I have them media trained on each book, because you need to know how to use the first opening question to sell your book. It doesn't matter if the interviewer says to you, gee, George, that's a lovely gray shirt you're wearing today. You have to be able to come back and say, thanks for asking me that. You know, in the third chapter of my book, How to Sell a $1 Million Van, I teach you how to do XYZ. You need to be able to use your interview to your advantage, and that takes rehearsing, it takes practice, and it takes a professional teaching you how to do it. Here's another good reason to get media trained. When Mr. or Mrs. Joe Average is sitting home on their couch watching the local morning TV show, and you're on the show, they're sitting there thinking, what's in it for me? What does he or she have to say that's going to make my life better today? Most people are alike. They have the same issues. They care about money, career, health, and relationships. You need to know how to speak to that. You need to know how to take your book, your material, in such a way that when they're sitting on their couch, all they're hearing is, wow, I need to go buy that book right now. That's information I didn't have that I need. This is something that can make my life better.
What's the timing for launching the PR and marketing for a book?
Generally, you want to have your game plan ready 6 months before the publication date of your book. Why 6 months? Very simple. Most of the magazines in this country, the women's magazines, the men's magazines, work on a 4 to 6 month lead time. Let's take Oprah's magazine, O Magazine, as an example. They generally are running 5 to 6 months in advance. So if your book is coming out in January, your publicist, or you as the publicist, needs to be able to start pitching them in June. Now that's 6 months. So you've got to be prepared to get your long lead publications, which is what the magazines are called, pitched 4 to 6 months before the book comes out. And I would say these days 5 to 6 months, because if you're looking at 4 months for Oprah Magazine, you will have missed deadlines. So you need to have your game plan, which means you want to have your press materials written, you want to have your publicist lined up, you want to start getting your speaking engagements lined up. And we'll talk about speaking engagements in the next section, so that once the book is about to hit the shelves, your plan is launched, you're ready to go, you're doing radio interviews, you're doing TV interviews, the magazines with your stories about your book are coming out, and books are beginning to sell. I'm going to share with you a little known secret that's probably going to change the way you look at your PR and marketing. When a book goes on sale, let's say the on sale date is February 1st of your book. If your book isn't flying out of the stores by February 26th, it begins to be returned to the publisher, never to return to the bookstore again. Why? Because the bookstores are only interested in having books on the shelves that are making them money. And almost every bookstore uses the same software program now that tracks the life of a book. They track it the day it arrives in the warehouse. They track the date it goes on the shelf. And if they're not in reorders on a book by the end of the month, it's over, you're finished, goodbye, it's done. So you want to target your marketing plan so that everything that can happen happens in the first 3 weeks. This isn't fair, it isn't fun, but it's really how it works.
What do you think about self-publishing?
Well, if your dream is to be on the New York Times bestseller list, then you don't want to self-publish. And here's why. The New York Times and the USA Today list, they decide who's number 1, 2, 3, and 4 because they get the sales figures from bookstores. Now, yes, they also take some sales figures from Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, but mostly they rely on the books that are flying out of the bookstores. If you've self-published, even if you've gotten a distributor, chances are you don't have deep enough distribution to actually register on one of the lists. So that's just a cautionary tale. That doesn't mean you shouldn't self-publish. There are a lot of good reasons to do it. You know, obviously, if you've tried to get a regular publisher and you weren't able, that's a good reason to self-publish. If you're somebody who already has quite the speaking career and you're out in front of a lot of people and you're mostly interested in making money, another very good reason to self-publish, because you can make a ton of money by selling your book on your website and in the back of the room. And if you don't really care about the bestseller list, and I'm one of those people who doesn't really care about the list, I'm more interested in having a career and selling product, then, you know, self-publishing is for you. There are many, many, many best-selling authors out there whose very first book was self-published. Deepak Chopra's first book was self-published. Jack Canfield's first book was self-published. Lots and lots of people do it as a way to get into the game. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You just need to know that if you've got it in your head that you need to be on the New York Times list, it's almost impossible to do it as a self-publisher. I want to take you through the process of what's involved in self-publishing. Here's where you need to write the book first. You've got to get your manuscript in order. And then it's absolutely essential that you find someone to line edit the book for you. That means they're going to comb through every word in the book and go look for typos and grammatical and factual errors. You want your manuscript totally clean. You then have to register the book with the Library of Congress and get an ISBN number. This isn't as hard as it sounds. You can buy a book on self-publishing and they'll walk you through the basic steps. John Kremer and Dan Poynter are the two gods of self-publishing. Their phone numbers are in the reference guide, and it's not that hard to do. My very, very first book was self-published and I had a great time doing it. It was a big creative adventure. Once you've gotten your ISBN number and you've registered with the Library of Congress, you need to have your book jacket designed. I suggest that you find a professional. You can find plenty of them in the books that you'll be picking up as your guides to self-publishing, or you can find someone that's particularly talented as a graphic artist. You'll also need the book typeset and formatted, essentially somebody to design the interior look of your book. Finding a printer can be a bit of a chore because not knowing the printing world and what costs are may require you to do some research. This is where joining an organization like Publishers Marketing Association can really pay off because PMA is a big national organization that supports small publishers, and I'm sure they've got a list of printers that are recommended that give fair deals. Again, you're going to have to figure out how to market this book. How are you going to sell it? This is most likely going to require that you find an independent distributor, somebody who has sales reps that will take your book to the book buyers of the independents and the chains, get your book ordered so it will sell in the bookstores. If this isn't possible, you can always sell your book on your website and at your speaking engagements, and almost always Ingram, the big book distributor, will sell your book out of their warehouse. The only problem with this is if I were to walk into a bookstore and ask for your book, I'd have to wait several days for the bookstore to order it from Ingram. So it's not the most ideal situation. Either way, get into the game. It's a learning experience. Once you have your book in print and you're holding it, your life is going to change forever. Go to the workshops, take classes, read books, talk to other publishers, watch what's going on in the business. Having a book is really just an amazing new experience. It gives you an opportunity to be interviewed by the media. It identifies you as an expert. It actually gives you a new identity in a lot of ways. And I haven't ever met anybody who either became an author or self-published a book that at the end of the day regretted that they had done it.
What about print on demand?
Print on demand, or POD as we call them in the trade, works really well if what you're publishing is some kind of a manual or a trade book. If it's a self-help book or a book that you want to get into the hands of many people, it can be a little tricky, and I'll tell you why. I had a couple of clients a few years ago that wrote a book about divorce, and they did it as a print on demand. And they came to me and said they wanted to do a book tour. And I was a little reluctant because I didn't know how it was going to work out to, you know, be sending out these obviously self-published print-on-demand books to the media. But we all agreed to give it a try, and surprise, surprise, it was a huge success. They got all kinds of national media attention. They were on the Today Show. They were in some big newspapers. But at the end of a year, in spite of all the publicity, they had only sold 1,100 books, which didn't begin to pay for all the money they spent for the publicity and the traveling. So print-on-demand is only difficult because people, the general public, is not yet ready to walk into a bookstore and have to wait for a book or get a book that's not as professional-looking as what's on the shelf. My belief is that when somebody walks into a bookstore, if they can't buy the book they went in there for, they're going to buy the next best thing. So I would say we're not quite ready for print-on-demand.
In your many years of working with authors, both best-selling and beginners, what do the leaders have in common?
You know, I found that most of them have persistence, patience, passion, and they're professional. They're people on a mission, people who are out there to make people's lives better. They love what they do. They love people. They understand the process and they know how to work with the process. They're not expecting anybody to do it for them. They realize that publishers, for the most part, are about distribution, but not about making you a star. They're willing to work on themselves on every level. They're willing to be diverse. They aren't just an author. They're also speakers, teachers. They're traveling. They have newsletters. They have free teleclasses. They're looking for lots of ways to get their message out, their word out to the world. The publishing game is really a lot of fun. Most of the people who work in this field are a lot of fun. Doing TV interviews, I can't think of anything that's more fun than going out and doing a TV interview. If you like to talk, doing radio interviews can be a lot of fun. You can sit in your house for a week and do 100 phone-in radio interviews. It's also a fun way to make money. As long as you understand, you're not going to make all your money from the book. That will be the least of your money. But the book will be your ticket into the game to have the workshops and the e-courses and the teleclasses and the newsletters and the big speaking fees. So I hope I've been able to shed some light on how the publishing game is played. There's more information for you in the reference guide, and I'm wishing you the best of luck.
This is the end of Disc 1. Before moving on to the next disc, why don't you take a moment to visit the everythingyoushouldknow.com website to get a free copy of the top 10 qualities every number one author possesses. Just point your browser to everythingyoushouldknow.com/survey. All you need to do is answer several questions about yourself to get your free report. Thank you, and enjoy the next disc. It's all about building a platform, the combination of your database, website, newsletters, e-zines, articles, products, speaking career, and workshops you conduct. Ariel describes how to go about creating your platform and, most importantly, why it's such a critical part of every author's arsenal of tools. Good luck building your platform and enjoy the rest of the Everything You Should Know program.